The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm a domestic type. I don't really get out too much.
Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast from the good people here at Radio X. Excluding myself, of course. Producer Joe is here as well.
I am, yeah. Am I included in the list of the inverted commas good people of Radio X?
We'll see how this edit goes, shall we? We'll see how you've done with this material. Eh? We'll see if you've polished it into a lovely...
It's polished as heck.
Yes, yes, that's what I meant. Today on the show, Ramesh Ranganathan, the brilliant comedian. He was very entertaining when he came in. I never knew he was a maths teacher before.
I did know that, and he's not the only comedian that used to be a teacher.
Greg Davies?
Greg Davies did.
Yes. Imagine trying to rip the Michael out of your teacher, and he was Ramesh Ranganathan. Imagine how he would dig you out in return.
I imagine that being heckled has never been an issue for him since his stand-up career began.
He's been great on A League of Their Own as well. We love him. Ramesh Ranganathan's on the podcast. And as well as that, Justin The Face Young, frontman of The Vaccines. He brought some good looks and charm to the show this week, talking about new material, so I'll treat you to that as well. I've got a question for you, Joe. Did you manage to work the Charlie Austin stuff up for the podcast as well?
Yes.
Excellent, Charlie Austin. If you missed it during the week, it was brilliant. A mashup of Blur's Park Life with his amazing rant after the Southampton game last week. If you're not a football fan, you will still love it. And again, hats off to you, Joe. It was a brilliant bit of work. Please enjoy the Evening Show podcast and leave us a little review if you're feeling kind.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart. This is the Evening Show on Radio X. We've had some brilliant comedians over the years on the show, and tonight is no different. Ramesh Ranganathan, it's a pleasure to finally meet you after all these years.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, man. Who else have you had on? Who are these other comedians?
We have had Russell Howard.
No, I don't know.
Don't know him. Aware of him? Russell Brand? Not him, one? No, not aware of him. No.
Congratulations, mate. Finally in the big leagues.
I've been stalking you gently for about 6 years now. I first saw you perform in Edinburgh.
Right.
I think I'm going to guess 2012 or 2013, around that kind of time. Yeah. What I love best about it is I've got two kids. I think you've got three now, haven't you?
I've got three, yeah.
What I thoroughly enjoy is the way you laugh at your children. And me and the missus take great pleasure in that, because... You can't really share publicly laughing at your children, but everybody does it, don't they?
Yeah, well, that's kind of like where all that came from. It's just sort of that thing of like, when you become a parent, you're supposed to, or the assumption is that you become this kind of worthy, kind of altruistic human being that doesn't see any like faults in your kids, which is not true. Do you know what I mean? And actually, the people that find that stuff, I've had more issues from people that don't have kids than from people that do have kids with that kind of chat. Because people that do have kids go, yeah, that is what I think you're doing. And then to have that kind of verbalise is sort of nice, I guess. But there is part of you that thinks, you know, from having kids, you sort of think, is it okay to think that? Do you know what I mean? Like, that was really annoying what happened there. Am I allowed to feel like annoyed, or am I supposed to just be so flooded with love that doesn't come into the equation? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I had a friend in Scotland, and his dad deliberately bought him a set of golf clubs so he could go and laugh at him for 3 hours. Which I thought was pretty good. But my son recently, he took up the saxophone.
Right.
And it's so hard trying to keep a straight face when he's playing this thing, because it's just ridiculous.
My eldest son has just really started getting into football.
Yeah.
And I remember when I used to play at school, and like you'd see parents that were just shouting at their kids, and I thought, I'm never going to be like that. But it is difficult when you watch your kid just make fundamental errors. Do you know what I mean? Like, just basic. I'm not even talking about like skills. I'm talking about just basic.
Yeah.
You know, look up and pass. But you're sort of like, no, it's about the enjoyment of the game. You just think, mate,
no, it's not.
People know you're my son. do you know what I mean? Like, these other parents know that you're my kid. Oh, so it's a hard one, yeah.
It's a horrible pressure. Ramesh, you're here to talk about your new Sky series, which has already been given a second series.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I think what happens is they have a gap in the schedule, and it's easier to recommission a show that already exists than to find something new. And I have benefited from that.
And they really want you to sign up for League of Their Own again, isn't it?
I don't know, man. It was like, so Sky have been like, they've been really good, like from when we first came up with this sitcom idea, and they've been really supportive and got behind it. And then they just said, look, we just want to get behind it. Yeah. And they liked the first series. And so it's a weird one, because like, people are saying to me, well, that takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Because like, you're definitely doing a second series. But in a way, it almost puts more pressure on, because if this series tanks and becomes so embarrassing then we've all got to turn up to work and do it again.
It's good optimistic
view. Drag this dog out into the limelight one more time. Do you know what I mean?
It's called The Reluctant Landlord, and it's based on pretty much a true story, really, isn't it? Your late father was a landlord in East Grinstead, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in East Grinstead. So he ran a book export company.
Yeah.
And then was going to this pub for lunch, and then got fed up with the book bit, and then sold the company and bought the pub. And so he was a publican for 15 years, and then he passed away, and we ended up inheriting the pub. What happened in truth was that we just gave it up. In fact, the pub got knocked down after we gave it up, because we were just rubbish at it, and we just gave it back to the brewery and said, we can't do this. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I think I actually said those words. I just emailed the brewery going, oh, it turns out we can't do this.
What was the main reason for it failing, do you think? Because you were a maths teacher, all right? So you must have been able to do the accounts all right and keep a steady ship.
It was one of those pubs that, like... Do you know those pubs that is properly on a knife edge where you need... There is no discernible reason why anybody would go to it.
Yeah.
But it's just that people do go to it and they like to have a chat there and stuff. And my dad became like part of the pub experience. He's a sort of very loud, gregarious bloke. And so it was kind of a personality-driven pub.
Yeah.
And he used to put football on and shout and scream. And that was part of the entertainment and stuff like that. And I just didn't... We just weren't... I just wasn't like that. Do you know what I mean? I just sort of turned up and stood in silence behind the bar and watched people drink.
Sounds like a great pub to me.
Could be described as quite a sinister way. And so it turns out people don't feel comfortable drinking in a place like that.
Yeah.
So it just started to, I think, to be honest, it wasn't making loads of money when my dad ran it, but when I started running it, it just hemorrhaged money month after month. And then we just thought, do you know what? I don't think this is a sustainable business model. Yeah,
you didn't operate the one for you, one for me policy when you were in it.
No, my dad did. My dad very definitely did.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Romesh, I ask all musicians and comedians that come in about their worst gig. I don't want to hear about the amazing sellout tours and all that. I want to know about the ones that wake you up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. Mm. What's the worst gig?
One that sort of sticks out in the memories. Because basically, when you have a bad gig, what you tend to do as a comic is blame the room. You know, it's like the circumstances of it, the lighting wasn't right, maybe the mic wasn't, the sound quality wasn't good enough, it was just blah, blah. I was basically unable to do that on this particular night because there were other people on. So I was hosting a gig in Leicester, and it was me and three other comics, and I basically got to do the bits in between. You do a bit of material, bring on the act or whatever. So I came on, opened the night, and for 15 minutes, I played to silence. just talking. I'm having a better time in this chat than I was during that gig. Just awful. And then I brought on the first act, and as I walked off, I remember saying to her, good luck, because it's quite sticky. And she roofed it. Absolutely roofed it, right? Yeah. Just incredible. Yeah. Smashed it. So then I came back on and called the interval. And then, so there's another act on in the middle. So I came out, did my bit at the top, absolutely tanked again, played to silence again. Then she came on, roofed it, absolutely smashed it. Right? Everybody else was basically having the gig of their life. Yeah, yeah. When I was about to bring on the last act, I was on stage and I was just sort of chatting. And by this time, everybody accepted the dynamic of the gig, which was the host was having one of the worst nights of his career, right? And then at one point, I couldn't help it. I just just vocalised how I was feeling, and I was just like, oh God, I'm just not enjoying this. Right? I just said it, and then somebody in the audience just went, why don't you just go? And then I went, do you know what, I think I will. Ladies and gentlemen, your final act. And then he ripped it. So I absolutely just tanked. And then I had to be in the car with the other acts. And everybody in that car had an amazing gig except for one guy. It was so awful.
That was agony.
And I couldn't... It was a year before I would go back to that venue even, because I just couldn't... I didn't want people in Leicester to see me.
Yeah.
Every time I'd go to Leicester since then, I think, were they at their gig? Were they at the gig? Do you know what I mean? You can't... Oh, I saw you in Leicester. Did you?
Yeah.
Which one was it? It's horrible, man.
Ah, well, not going back to Leicester. There are worse things that could happen. Yeah. Thanks for sharing your pain with us, Romesh. No, really appreciate it. We'll put that into the vault alongside others. Right, more from Romesh, and just to say, you okay to stick around?
Of course, mate.
That is a relief.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
absolutely thrilled to say that a good man is back on the show tonight. We've had him in a few times this year. He is Justin the Face Young. Now, how are you, the Face?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
A little bit gravelly there, Justin. The face is great, but the voice is... Have you been out last night?
Yes. I'm not going to lie to you, Gordon. I was out last night.
Can you very quickly paint a picture of where you are in the world right now?
Well, I'm in London, about to get on a flight to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Wow. You'll get to sleep it off, or you could watch four films and cry on the plane if you like.
I'll probably end up doing the latter. It's probably what happens.
Good man. Now listen, Justin, you've been in a few times this year. First time we spoke was all about getting excited and combat sports came out. It's been a mad year since then, but you're back with a brand new single. Now, I didn't really know this was going to happen. It's a new song that you've written with a character called Cole MGN, who is the Christine and the Queens producer. Tell us how this one came about and what's the song all about.
Cole is an old friend of mine, and I've written with him a bunch of stuff like vaccines and then other stuff as well, and he's like a sort of really old friend and collaborator, and we write loads together, and actually we've written a few vaccine things together as well. And this is like, I don't know, it's like, I don't really know what to say other than it's a new song. It's a kind of an older chorus that we never really had a verse for, and I kept trying to rewrite a verse, and then finally ended up with one that we were really excited about and the band were really excited about. And I don't know, it's sort of like, you know, I think sometimes you release a record and you tour it and you want to kind of get off that wave and come back and collect your thoughts and live your life for a bit, and that's all fine. But like other times, I guess you want to just like keep on going, and that's like kind of how it feels at the moment. And I really don't know, I don't think any of us expected it really until we started playing it in sound checks and then playing it in gigs and then thinking it might be fun to record. And sort of there's a handful of songs that we're really excited about that we think are really good, and so we don't know if, how or when they'll come out, but like this is maybe the first. I don't know if it's the beginning of a new record or a standalone single or an EP. I don't really know. It's a song we're really excited about, and we just wanted the world to hear it. I don't know.
We are not complaining, Justin. This is fantastic news. When I read up about this, I thought this is a man who's at that stage in life where every weekend he's invited to a wedding and all of his friends are falling in love. Is that the motivation and inspiration for it?
I think I'm definitely of an age. I think I've been of an age for several years now where it feels like I'm the only person that isn't quite ready to give it all up just yet. The nihilistic streak in me.
You're not giving anything up. It's just a different type of enjoyment.
I know. They all say.
Well, listen, Justin, thanks very much for this. I'm going to play it right now on Radio X. The very first time we've given this a spin. It's called All My Friends Are Falling In Love Today. And it's an absolute belter. From the Vaccines.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
That was All My Friends Are Falling In Love Today, the first time we have played that on Radio X from the Vaccines, and Justin the Face is on there. Thank you very much, Justin, for that. It's a nice little surprise. I wasn't expecting it before Christmas.
I don't think any of us were.
Listen, I was going to say, so this is produced by Daniel Ladinsky. Now, he's worked with people like Shakira, hasn't he? Rihanna. Has this given it more of a pop twinge?
Yeah, I think Combat Sports, the record we released this year, was really important for us to kind of like re-engage with who we are as a band and sort of rediscover that at our skeleton and at our core and, you know, deep within our soul, we're a rock and roll band. But I think that it was very much presented in that way. And I think, like, you know, I think as a band, the next thing for us to figure out is how to keep that at our core and how to at our soul stay, like, you know, good old-fashioned rock and roll band, but be able to, I don't know, make brilliant sort of current pop music. And I think we've always tried to do that, and I guess this is just the latest in a lot experiment in a long line of them. And but Daniel's from actually like a punk rock background, but he has worked with a lot of pop artists. He's based in LA, but he's a Swedish guy, and he's a good man and a very talented man.
Yeah, the Scandinavian, the Swedish mob are really good, aren't they, at writing songs?
There's something in the water over there, I think.
Now, listen, Justin, the first time you came in to talk about combat sports, it was right at the beginning of the year, 11 months ago, and both you and Freddie just had this kind of sparkle in your eye about the excitement of the year ahead. Looking back across those 11 months, how has it been in the grand scheme of the Vaccines story? Has it been a brilliant year? Has it been as exciting as it looks?
I really don't think we could be happier right now. I think like we really feel like we've got the wind in ourselves and we're enjoying it more than ever. I think that's why new music's coming. Like, I guess you never know how much of a struggle it's going to be touring a record, and if you're going to end up murdering each other by the end of it. But it just feels really fun. Like, every day feels like an adventure, and I think we're better than we've ever been. I think we're capable of being even better, and just the touring has been amazing. I really, you know, I feel like I understand what the vaccines are again now, and I was a bit confused for a couple of years, and it feels like maybe people that like the band do as well, so that's like a really nice feeling.
Amazing. You're touring January, February as well, so it really feels like the engines are firing again. You said there that you've got sort of two or three songs. It feels to me like once you start playing them on this tour, we're going to get a new album, aren't we, Justin?
I wouldn't want to. I mean, I hope so. I really hope so, but I don't know. I really don't know. We've played three new songs around. We just came back from the States and Europe, and we were playing three new songs in the set. So, yep. And there's more that we haven't got around to working up yet. So we're in a good place, I think.
Excellent, excellent stuff. Just one last question before you go. How many waterslide parks have you visited this year?
You know what? None.
No.
And actually, I was trying to get everyone to go with me when we were at Benicassim, but there seems to be a feeling that we might have grown out of it, which is
probably a good thing, isn't it?
It's
probably
maybe, yeah.
Now, listen, Justin. A few weeks to go before Christmas. I really hope I'll get a chance to see you to enjoy a light refreshment. I think we're going to call it.
I hope so. I hope so. I'm sure I will. I'll pass across.
Toast an amazing year. Listen, all the best. Safe travels, and we'll catch you
thanks,
soon.
Thanks, man. Cool. See you soon.
It's Justin,
cheers.
The Face Young. What a brilliant man, and an amazing new song from the Vaccines. And we'll be hearing a lot more of that on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Right, let me take you back to February 1994. That's 24 years ago for Green Day's Dookie. Remember where you were right at that time? We hadn't quite reached Britpop properly. We were still coming out of American grunge, and this band were right in the middle of it. Green Day. Hugely successful album for them. Got to number 2 in America and got to number 13 in the UK. The band's first album released on a major record label, Reprise. Caused them a bit of trouble, though. It upset some fans who'd followed the band since the very early days and felt that they had sold out. It also got a Green Day banned from 924 Gilman Street, which was an independent music club in California. Not good when you sign to the big label if you're a cool band. Following the underground success of Kerplunk, Green Day's second album, the band began to be courted by a number of big labels. One of them tried to take them to Disneyland to try and get them to sign on the dotted line. Didn't quite work, though. The band weren't keen until he met a man called Rob Cavallo from Reprise. He'd worked with another California band they loved called The Muffs. That got them interested, and then the relationship eventually paid off in style. Rob ended up producing Dookie, then Insomniac, Nimrod, American Idiot, and Green Day's live album, Bullet in a Bible. Massive success with all of that. He also produced the hugely successful Black Parade from My Chemical Romance. There were 5 singles released on the album, Longview Basket Case, Welcome to Paradise, When I Come Around, and She. And as of 2013, here is a massive number for you. It sold around 20 million copies. That makes it diamond certified in the United States. So 2 songs on classic albums tonight from Green Day and Dookie. Basket Case, followed by When I Come Around.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
Do you have the time to listen to me?
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
When I come around.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
That took me flying right back to second year of high school. Green Day and Dookie, our classic album tonight from 1994. That's 24 years old. Frightening. You heard When I Come Around at the end there. 4th single from the album remained the highest charting single for the band in America until Boulevard of Broken Dreams in 2004. How about that? Took them all that time to get there. Basket Case. Before that, the second single from Dookie spent 5 weeks at the top of the American alternative chart, and it was the most successful single from the album in the UK, reaching number 7. I think I went to parties every weekend for about 6 months where people played that on the guitar. That and Under the Bridge by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Now, the song you can hear in the background is Welcome to Paradise. Trey Cool is a drummer and a half. It already featured on their second album, Kerplunk, but once they moved to a major label for Dookie, They re-recorded it and released it as the third single. Listen to that. So there you have it. We went back to 1994 tonight for Green Day and Dookie, 24 years old, and we will have another classic album next Monday night.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
So I wanted to ask you this, right? Do you find now that a lot of people come up and ask you how to get into stand-up comedy? Because it's a really appealing job, right?
Yeah.
On the surface of it, you could be Jimmy Carr, richer than God, don't pay tax, have an amazing life, beautiful teeth, live right. in a mansion in London. If you get to the top, it's an incredibly lucrative and brilliant business to be in.
Yes.
Would you say it's a good thing to follow if that's one of our listeners fancied it?
Look, the truth is I don't want any more people to start stand-up comedy because it's quite competitive. I think there are already too many comedians in this country. Yep. So if you're asking me what I would say to one of your listeners from my point of view, it would be don't do it. But that's me being selfishly motivated. I do think the thing with stand-up is, like, I think if you go into it, this is such a, I mean, I feel like it's a bit of a route one answer, but if you go into it aiming for that, you know, that Jimmy Carr level of, you know, then there is no point doing it, because it's so, if you don't love doing stand-up, it's very difficult. It's a difficult thing, you know, like loads of jobs. If you don't really love it, it's hard. Because, like, when you tank, it's genuinely the worst feeling. And then I knew when the first time I, like, absolutely died on stage, the fact that I wanted to go back and do it again is that I knew that I really wanted to do stand-up, because it's horrible. Anybody can do, like, gigs where they do well and want to do it again because it's a buzz. But, like, to absolutely play to nothing, I want to do it again. So it is enjoyable if you love doing stand-up, and you'll know very quickly. But can I just say from the bottom of my heart, please don't.
We do another thing in the show, Romesh. I wonder if you could share it with us. I'm writing a terrible book called Slash Gordon, which is, well, starts with a pun, but it's about finding yourself in the bathroom with somebody famous. And you have to make conversation. You know, it's that kind of awkward two people in a room situation.
Yeah.
Have you found yourself next to somebody at the toilet that you can add to the chain in Slash Gordon?
I have been held hostage in a toilet.
Not
deliberately held hostage. Basically, what happened? I went to a gig, and I had eaten something dodgy the night before. So, launch sequence had been initiated. Right, I turned up at this gig, which was in the back of his pub, and I said to the staff, "So, where's the toilet? Where's the toilet?" I was sort of sweating, and they said, "Oh, the men's toilet's not working, but just like run into the women's." So I went into the women's toilet, and then I just sat in the cubicle, and then a group of women came into the toilet, right? Like, and they're just chatting, and then I thought, okay, well, I've just got to remain here until they leave, and they're just chatting for ages, right? And then one of them came and sat in the cubicle next to me, and which is fine. I thought, just remain silent, and then she said, she knocked on the wall and said, "Excuse me, there's no toilet tissue in here. Have you got any spare there?" Right. So then I started, like, freaking out. For what do I do here? Like, because I don't want to say anything. Like, do I put on a woman's voice? Like, I don't want to say, oh, I'm just a bloke that got told to use his toilet. Because then why hadn't I announced myself earlier? They'd been in there for ages. And I just sat just in listening. Silence. And then I thought, oh, maybe I should just pass it underneath. And then I thought, no, but I haven't got ladylike hands.
You're Richard Keys hands.
Yeah, so I just remained silent.
Yeah.
I said, "Excuse me." And I just continued to remain silent. And she went, "You moody cow," or something like that, right? Just stayed there, and then they all just started slagging me off. This woman that they perceived to be just ignoring them in the toilet, and then they left. I was even nervous to walk out because I thought, this is a problem now, because they are probably going to wait to see who this ignorant cow is that wouldn't hand over any toilet tissue, and then a bloke's going to walk out. Like, what do I do? So I stayed there for ages. I mean, it was literally, I heard the compere start the gig, and then I thought, okay, it's safe to come out now. It was awful. But there was, as far as I know, and that, by the way, that woman was Jennifer Lopez. It would have been great. That would have been great for you.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
You might have seen it going around this week. Southampton striker Charlie Austin. What a player he is, by the way. Getting his knickers in a proper twist about the match officials at the weekend. He wasn't a happy bunny. Now, it's been turned into a mashup with Parklife by Blur, And I'm sure you've already seen it or heard it doing the rounds. It's brilliant stuff, right? If you haven't, let me refresh your memory or point it out to you for the first time. This is what it sounds like.
Well, it says offside hit my, I didn't. And it twice hit me, Bob Douglas, right down Foster. The best league in the world, the most watched league in the world. Now give them all the help they need, because clearly it cost us 2 points today to Joe. Sorry, that's a bad. This week worked hard, come here to get 3 points. We deserve 3 points today, we're let down by the officials. That's why we didn't get 3 points.
I must have watched that, but it's still funny every single time. So we've been keeping our eye on the internet, hoping it would snowball in meme land. Now, I'm happy to report that we have managed to add our own little bit of fuel to the fire, and producer Joe found himself with 5 minutes to spare earlier on, and he waved his magic editing wand. Here's that same clip of good old Charlie Austin, the aggrieved Southampton player, this time with the help of Green Day.
Our performance today, we feel like we've been let down by the officials. We stick to the plan. We stick to the plan. We win this game. We've gone about VAR this, VAR that. Help the officials out. Clearly, it cost us 2 points today. It's a joke.
Fair play, producer Joe. It's brilliant. Right, you've got the idea now. Let's carry on. Let's run with it. Let's take the ball and run with it, like Charlie tried to do until the officials got annoyed. Right, here is Charlie having his life flip turned upside down.
They shouldn't be in the game. They get a point. We score a perfectly good goal. Make it 2-0. Game's done, dusted. We win the game. Officials cost us 2 points today. It's standard. Hey, they said it's offside. Hit my, I didn't. I hit it twice. Hit me. Bob, that's why Dan Foster. Gone about VAR this, VAR that. Help the officials out. Clearly they need help. Clearly, we play in the Premier League.
It could go on and on and on. And finally, right, this one's my personal favourite. Charlie Austin one more time. Good old Charlie Austin, Southampton star, but this time with the help of a bit of grime. Now, it's not very often you get to hear Dizzy Rascal on Radio X, so let us savour the moment. Charlie Austin featuring Dizzy Rascal.
Charlie, that equaliser must be sickening, is it?
It's ridiculous. They shouldn't be in the game. They get a point. We score a perfectly good goal. Make it 2-0. Game's done, dusted. We win the game. Officials cost us 2 points today. It's standard. Hey, they said it's offside. Hit my, I didn't. I hit it twice. Hit me. Bob, that's why Dan Foster. It's a joke. We've gone about VAR this, VAR that. Help the officials out. Clearly they need help. Clearly, we play in the Premier League. The best league in the world. The most watched league in the world. Now give them all the help they need, because clearly it cost us 2 points today. It's a joke. 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 Joke.
Tom.
Refresh, 2 weeks, come back, big game.
Bonkers! There you go, Charlie Austin, Southampton star, with a little bit of help from all the rest of those brilliant artists, Green Day. Oh, and the rest of them, fantastic. You know what? Thank you very much, Charlie Austin. You've given us a smile this week. And by the way, you're an outstanding footballer. Come and play for Hibs, my friend. Anytime you like. Radio X.